Football season is here, and that leads to a lot of celebrating and partying. And yeah, it's game day. Time to get crunk. When you do that, be safe. Don't drive. But if you make a mistake or a loved one makes a mistake and you need to have legal representation, don't say guilty, say Garza. Marcos Garza and his team are East Tennessee's premier DUI defense, criminal defense, and personal injury lawyers. They'll try to get you the best result possible in your case because, let's face it, that's what you're going to want. You're going to want somebody who's got your back. Marcos has your back. Before you say guilty, say Garza. You can contact them 24/7, 365 at garzalaw.com or through the phone at 865-540-8300. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
All right, I think we're set up. I think we're ready to go. Hope everybody's having a good night. I've got a couple speakers on here in a second. Okay, got the delay here. We'll start off. Let's grab Brother Blue Moon Vol if he wants to speak. See how hot his chili is. See if we can get Seth in here, some people. It's game week, Tennessee taking on Virginia. It has been a pretty long offseason. But at the same time, shout out to Barnes. Shout out to Vitello. As once the basketball season ended, we went right into baseball. And once the baseball season ended, it was basically SEC Media Days. What's up, Roman?
What's up, John? What's happening?
How are you, my brother?
Doing good. Trying to get these kids in bed.
How hot's your chili right now?
Got to put it in a cast iron skillet. Can't have it in a regular pan. I expect nothing less than 11, 12 wins this year. Simple as.
Yeah, I think that's what I want to do tonight. I think I want to just kind of go around, get a bunch of predictions. I've seen a lot of 9-3s. 9-3s are making me upset.
I don't think there's enough talent to go against. I don't think the teams are good enough this year to give us three losses we play.
Well, the quarterbacks, the quarterbacks definitely don't seem good enough. That's where I keep coming back to, is that I don't know where these other teams are supposed to find enough offense to stop. You know, to really beat Tennessee, because I feel like outside of Georgia, you can pencil Tennessee in for at least 31 points every game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know how many teams on our schedule can get to 31.
Texas A&M's not going to do it at home. South Carolina's not going to do it again at home. Virginia's a non-starter. The only reason people are interested in this Florida game is because of the last 25 years. If an alien would have come down a year ago and watched from a year ago and watched these two teams, it wouldn't even be close.
I also think it has a lot to do with just being the first
road test because, yeah, the last 25 years, of course, makes Florida seem bigger, but people still want to see what the Joe Show looks like on the road against an SEC defense. Like, I think that the history, of course, plays into that. But it's a lot like Pittsburgh last year. People wanted to see you go on the road and play against a competent team and see what you looked like. And quite frankly, we didn't look very good last year. So I hope that we look a lot better this year in our first big test.
Set. I don't think you need a full – I don't think you need an A. I think a B-minus, C-plus game wins at Florida. I just don't think they can score with us. I think we're good enough to where even if the offense is struggling, we're just going to hit those four or five deep plays a game to give you 21, 24, 28 points. And the running, I don't see that game being competitive past midway through the second quarter.
It feels good that I said it last night on the Reed's Ranch podcast. Go subscribe, listen, rate, only if you're giving 5 stars. Just that, you know, I feel like when teams go up against Tennessee in the last couple of years, we have made them really kind of reevaluate their whole program and philosophy. And I truly think that Florida will kind of be in for that similar awakening where we look like we're playing a different sport when we have wide receivers running deep down the field and they're trying to grind out as many points, you know, as Graham Mertz and their run game can get them. Seth, what's up, my man?
Not much. It's good to hear Blue Moon Ball speak.
He said,
we're to the point now where you start off 7-0, 14-0 in the hole because you know we're going to get that.
Yeah,
quick.
I got to make up 17. So,
yeah, and you know, I just don't. It's like LSU last year. I don't get the LSU hype this year. Don't see it. I go back down there, Death Valley, at night. They're not keeping up with it. If Joe Milton does, you know, Clemson, Joe Milton rolls out, wins 11 games this year.
I don't know.
11-1. We got our first 11-1. It just took one speaker.
He's got to work on the pocket presence a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think Clemson. Joe Milton goes 11-1. We need Joe Milton to be better than he was against Clemson. Now, like, the Clemson Joe Milton, I think, can go 10-2.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
But to beat Alabama,
I think the defense is going to be better. I think Clemson Joe Milton goes to Alabama, and it's close in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I don't think we win. If he plays like he did against Clemson, I'm expecting him to be better than he was against Clemson. And also, like, I think, you know, a large part of that is I think we'll have, you know, our full assortment of offensive weapons. And he didn't have that against Clemson.
Yep.
All right, 11-1. I got you jotted down.
No surprise. No surprise there. No, I guess the surprise is that he didn't pick 12-0.
Now, I will say we have a lot of people on Twitter that might not be in the Discord that might not realize, Seth, that brother Blue Moon Ball has been in on Josh Heupel since the day he was hired.
Yeah, he's the first one that I can remember.
He never questioned Josh Heupel. I'm removing BMB as a speaker. By the way, Seth, stop fidgeting so much. It's very loud.
Fidgeting?
Well, maybe it was him. I don't know, but it was – there was like were you just hitting a table or something?
No.
Were you doing something? Oh, okay. Maybe it was Blue Moon Ball, which is why I muted him. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Anybody who wants to talk, go ahead and request. We'll start mowing through these. I don't really talk to people on the radio, but I'm down to talk to people tonight. We're going to try to do these spaces. We're going to try to do them every week. Now, you know, maybe if in between some, next week before Virginia.
Some weeks can be tough to talk.
Yeah. We're going to try to do them, though. Wednesday is, you know, either the game was good the week before or the game coming up is good. So, like, you know, this upcoming week after Virginia, like, there'll be some takeaways. But we're not going to obviously be able to talk much about Austin Peay. I've seen a lot of 9-3s from the people who are paid to cover this team.
I have to. As I was listening to some national guys predict their playoff teams. I am done getting mad at people for predicting Penn State to make the playoff or predicting Penn State to be really good because it just gets so boring hearing Michigan, Georgia, Ohio State, USC in the playoff.
the wildest people have gotten so far this offseason is saying, hey, Texas. Texas is going to make the playoffs.
Kansas State. Dan Wetzel predicted Kansas State.
Oh, okay. Well, I hadn't seen that.
But I just get tired of hearing. So, like, somebody like Pat Forty predicted Penn State. I'm like, you know what? Why not? It beats Michigan and Ohio State. It beats Michigan and Georgia playing again. It just – I do agree. Like, David Ubbin, I think he predicted Tennessee to go 9-3. He's extremely high on A&M. He's extremely high on A&M. I don't really get it. I'm getting tired of the 9-3s because I think you have to kind of – you have to go out of your way to say, like, okay, they're going to fall for a trap game against a team that they never lose to in Kentucky, or they're going to lose at home to A&M, which probably makes even less sense than losing to Kentucky on the road.
Yeah, you could tell me, like, hey, Kentucky after Alabama and after A&M, a little bit of a letdown. Like, that would make at least a little sense.
You have a bye before A&M.
You have a bye before A&M, and let's face it, if we are not undefeated heading into Texas A&M off of a bye week, it would be a pretty big disappointment. Do you concur?
Oh, yeah, it would be massive disappointment.
So I'm supposed to think that Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino in the year 2023, Anno Domini, is supposed to come into a Neyland Stadium facing a top six team? Would we be like top six if we're 5-0?
Somewhere around that. How many more years are we going to give Jimbo Fisher the benefit of the doubt for something that happened 10 years ago? When he had, I mean, he built the team, I'll grant him that, but that team was stacked. It didn't take, I could have probably coached that Florida State team to a national title. How many more years are we going to give him the benefit of the doubt?
Well, I was looking up the hot seat rankings today, and he is number one on a lot of them. Okay. So it does seem like this is the last year where he's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
I'm surprised that it wasn't my man Neil Brown number one.
He is up there, yeah, with him as well. It just depends on what list you looked at, but he's in the same predicament.
Yeah, I guess they really can fire Jimbo this year, which is hysterical. I guess it depends on Texas. If Texas goes like 11-1, then and Texas A&M goes like 8-4, they're firing Jimbo, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the standard or the mark he needs to hit to, you know, make people happy, but I would think it's at least 9-3. And like you said, it's probably going to also have to do with what Texas is doing as well. Because even 9-3, if Texas goes 11-1 or 12-0, like, that's still going to be pretty tough to take.
Yeah, I think it's pretty heavily dependent on Texas. It's just going to be crazy watching them spend, what is it, it's $75 million this year?
Yeah, it was $75 million last year. I think it might go down this year. Yeah, it might go down a bit this year.
That's a lot of money. See, we have my sweet sister listening in. It's good to see.
Shout out to Claire.
She'll be with me at the Alabama game this year.
Have you already got
your
tickets?
I do.
That's nice. One less thing to worry about. But I think BMV was right when talking about how there's just not enough offense on most of the schedule.
Yeah, I think he's right. You start in the hole, 17 points, give or take, against Tennessee, probably.
Yeah, like, are we really supposed to think that Texas A&M is going to come into Knoxville, a place that, you know, was pretty tough to play at last year? It was pretty tough to play there last year.
Yeah, like you said, if we're undefeated when A&M comes into town, that's it's going to be a crazy atmosphere, just because we've had no other games at home besides South Carolina.
Right, and I think we all kind of anticipate beating the hell out of South Carolina. So, like, your one home performance is going to be a pretty big one where you should win by at least 17 points. So, like, yeah, like, coming in the next, you know, 2 weeks later, the next game, top six, top seven in the country, still rolling, that's going to be a hornet's nest for Texas A&M, and I just don't have any confidence that they can, you know, come in here and beat us. Now, I will say 247 had their whole, like, team composite rankings, the most talented teams. Yeah, and of course, A&M, I didn't know if they were fourth or fifth. I was going to say top five.
I think that's so stupid, too. I think that's so dumb. I just think that, I mean, I don't know. Jimbo's offense, it's like his offense, like 10 things have to happen for the play to work. Like 10 things have to go right for the play to work. And you have Tennessee's offense where like one thing has to work for the play to go right. does it really matter if they have like all this talent when it's like an act of God for everything to work? I mean, he makes it so difficult on his players in a in an age where it's never been easier to score points. He's still like stuck. He's gonna be stuck in 10 years ago. I'm not sure Bobby Petrino is gonna modernize that much.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm under the belief that Bobby Petrino is gonna be the one in charge.
Yeah. I mean, it's been weird.
I think that's kind of why they. I think that's kind of why they're like, hey, they're hiring Bobby Petrino, and then for like 2 weeks we were waiting to see if he was actually gonna hire Bobby Petrino. I think that's probably because Bobby's like, well, if you're hiring me, I'm gonna actually be the one calling.
Yeah,
the
I think he will be calling the plays, at least at first.
But like you said, I don't know if a 60-year-old Bobby Petrino, and I'm just guesstimating. I don't know if he's going to bring a modern offense that is going to unlock all of A&M's talent.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just
– I do not think Lamar Jackson is walking through that door.
That's something that Jimbo doesn't meddle, which is, you know, hard to believe he wouldn't. He was pretty cagey about whether or not Bobby's going to be calling the plays earlier in the summer, about a month ago. It's very weird, very weird situation. Very odd, just very odd situation.
I don't think there is much we need to even say about Virginia, right?
No,
like their over-under win total is 3.5. Like they're supposed to – they'll be lucky if they win 4 games.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, but what can you do? You can only beat the teams that are in front of you.
So, like, I don't really want to do a game preview because we talked about it yesterday on the podcast. The only thing I'm looking forward to – is seeing which wide receivers pop. That's it. That's all I care about in this first game.
I care about watching Nico.
Okay, let's talk about it. You think Nico gets how many minutes? How many
probably
snaps?
Nothing. Probably like
when
the
does
last
he get inserted
probably
in the game?
Something annoying, like the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter or something, because Josh keeps his guys in way too long. Probably not near as much time as he could for whatever reason, which I don't even necessarily dislike Joe getting like 3 quarters worth of playing time.
So you think Nico gets the fourth quarter, which I mean, last year when Joe got in, he got to sling
it. Yeah. I don't think
so. I expect Nico not to come in and just hand the ball off. Now, maybe I will say that maybe if Josh is going to have empathy for one team, it might be the one that just had the tragedy last year and is playing their first game since then. Like maybe Josh keeps that in mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause beating Virginia by 50 in their first game back will make people a lot madder than us throwing the ball deep against Missouri.
Well, especially
right?
if you are throwing the ball deep against them in the fourth quarter.
Right. So like, I don't know if he'll keep that in mind, but it's at least on my radar. Let's grab a speaker. Let's grab Alex. Let me see if I can unmute him. How the hell do I unmute him? Let's hear.
Hey,
let's
John,
see,
can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Alex?
Hey, I was going to see if you guys had heard if Cooper's going to play on Saturday.
I'm not counting on it. Not reporting anything, but everything, all the tea leaves and what people have kind of made it sound like to me is that they're going to be pretty cautious. And personally, I hope he doesn't play against Virginia.
Yeah, I kind of think we don't need to run him out there either. I mean, like you said, they're projected to win 3.5 games. Another question I had was I saw something on Twitter earlier. Who is somebody?
X. It's called X now, Alex. It's X now.
Oh, okay, my bad. who is somebody that you guys are looking to have like a breakout year that maybe people aren't expecting?
Seth.
I like Ramel Keaton. To have a big year.
You think he's just going to finally have his big season?
I think Joe loves him. I think him and Joe are tight. I guess it depends on, I mean, maybe if he plays on the right side, as we saw last year, him and Hooker like throwing to the right side more than they like throwing to Brew on the left. I think Joe just likes Ramel. I think Ramel is still probably underrated. Whenever he's gotten in the game, he's just caught the ball. That's all he's done. Ramel's just throwing it to him.
Alex, I think this is a year you have a really big Jalen Wright year. I think he will kind of separate himself as a running back. You know, reading what everybody said about him at practice, it seems like he's going to kind of separate himself as the one, at least early on.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking the same thing, John. And I think Ramel Keaton has a huge year too. I think he's kind of been waiting on, you know, his breakout year. And I think that Jalen takes a huge step. I think he's our best running back. I mean, I think Jabari's good, but I think Jalen, you know, he showed it against Kentucky. He's got a different type of speed and a different type of game that, you know, Jabari just doesn't have, in my opinion. But yeah, man, I'm excited, and you know, I appreciate y'all letting me hop on here and give my
before you go, give us your record prediction.
I'm gonna go with, I've been on 10-2. I do think we beat Alabama. I think we lose to Georgia, and we slip up.
Oh no!
No! This is bad.
Do you have a prediction on who we slip up against?
I mean,
we're gonna say Kentucky. He's gonna say Kentucky.
We haven't lost. I think we lost to Kentucky twice since I've been on planet Earth. So I'm not going with it.
And once was during COVID, and that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
I don't really know. I mean, I can see 11-1, but I'm not, and that one loss.
You just don't want to go out. You just don't want to go 11-1. You don't know who the second loss is going to be, but you don't want to go out on the limb and say 11-1 because you don't want to sound like a.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like a. You know, I have drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think that, you know, we go 10-2, 11-1's on the table. I think you made a good point earlier. Joe's got to play a little bit better than he did against Clemson to go down to Bama and win. I just don't think Bama's, you know, they don't have a quarterback. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm going to go with 10-2, and I don't know who that second loss is to. Maybe A&M, but I don't see that either. So I'm not really sure.
All right, brother. Appreciate you hopping on. See ya. How wild is it, Seth, that in year three, the safe prediction that doesn't make you sound like a homer is 10-2.
I know. It's really – it's.
I'm going to play it safe, and I don't want to sound crazy, so I'm just going to go 10-2.
We have a pretty easy schedule again, which is also pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice. We have, you know, been on the wrong side of that for so many years. It feels like, you know, we're on a nice little streak. Now, LSU ended up being a pretty solid team, but all year long we kept saying last year, hey, if there's a year you want to play LSU and Brian Kelly, it's in year one right now. And, of course, we kick their ass. I think going down to Baton Rouge, hits fourth, would be a much tougher game. I'm going to bring on Orlando. We get Orlando connected. Orlando, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you. How are y'all?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Just chilling here at the beach.
I hope you're staying safe. Okay. Are you staying safe?
Yeah. Didn't hit us. And I'm actually in South Alabama.
You're at Orange Beach?
Yeah. So nice. It's been really calm, actually, today.
Beautiful,
it's really
beautiful,
windy.
Beautiful.
For sure. What do you guys think is our biggest liability this year, player-wise?
Safety.
Seth hates the safeties, Orlando.
But is there a specific player or just?
Oh, there's a specific player. There's a specific player, but we're just going to leave it at safety.
Offensive line, maybe.
I got you.
Can we get to the quarterback?
I definitely think safety is a bigger concern than offensive line to me. But I also think you probably have more options at safety where you'll eventually find somebody. And like we talked about, there doesn't seem to be too many offenses on the schedule that can really punish you. Enough where it's going to matter. So I'm more worried about the offensive line in that regard because I don't know if the safeties will lose you many games. The offensive line could lose you more, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. We don't want Joe hurt, so I got to have that protection. That's my scary where I think if we don't have a good O-line or good O-line play, we can't run the ball, we can't throw the ball. Brings me back to the old Tennessee days, but I feel pretty solid this year.
I did see a crazy stat about Tennessee running the ball under Heupel. When they've run for 155 yards or more, I think he's 15-2 as a coach.
Okay. So that's the magic number, get to 155
13
yards?
13-2 or 15-2, one. I assume one of those, I don't know, my one guess is one of those losses is to Ole Miss, but maybe not. I
remember us not running very well with running backs.
Hooker,
Hinden might have had
that was my thought.
I think he had like 70 yards.
I don't know who the other one was. I can't remember where I saw that this year. I saw that this week or last week. But, yeah, 155 yards is the magic number, more or less. I do think, like –
I would say Pittsburgh in Knoxville, we probably ran for 155 yards because Joe had that 180-yard scramble.
Did that long run.
Yeah, that we didn't score a touchdown on somehow. And then we missed a field goal, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Or we might have hit the field goal. We got down like fourth and goal from like 30.
Yeah, embarrassing.
All right, Orlando, give me a record prediction.
All right, I know you said earlier I don't want to be a homer, but for sure 11-1. Just looking at the schedule, I just don't see a loss other than that Tuscaloosa. Like, there's just no way.
Okay, well, I can definitely see a loss against Georgia. They're back-to-back national champions.
I just feel like in Neyland, no quarterback.
You know, I hear you, brother, like, but I don't think you can say I just can't see us losing to them. I can clearly see us losing to them. They are back-to-back national champions, and they haven't lost a regular season game in how many years?
Quite a bit. I just feel like, I mean, in Neyland, every time we've played Georgia, I don't know, I may be wrong, but the last few years I've gone since I was in high school, other than maybe, well, when we had at the end of Butch, we've always played a good game against Georgia at Neyland, even when we sucked. There is a couple outlier years, but I feel like Georgia and Neyland just doesn't play too well.
Who was their last regular season loss? Was it South Carolina?
Yeah, probably, right? Because they lost to Alabama in the
that
SEC
insane
or the national championship, whichever one. Yeah, yeah, that might be their last regular season loss.
Oh, man.
All right, Orlando, man, have fun at the beach. Hope to see you at Florida.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
See you, brother.
See you.
I just can't see us losing to anybody except in Tuscaloosa.
Chili's hot.
Chili's hot. He believes in Neyland magic. He believes in Neyland magic. All right, let's I'm gonna grab Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the show, the spaces. What's up, brother? He's muted. You are muted right now. Do I have him muted? Let's see. I think your mic is muted, Ryan.
You yeah, I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
Oh, this is a good-ass microphone. You sound great.
Awesome. So just curious, ESPN, all the other channels are saying we're going to drop off, obviously. Besides a quarterback, like, what is that? We're returning everyone besides wide receiver. And our wide receivers proved themselves last year for the most part. Like, how are we going to drop off?
Well, I understand from the outside looking and saying, hey, Hendon Hooker was really good. Hey, Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman were really good. So, like, I understand people thinking the offense isn't going to be as good. Now, I don't think anybody here is truly worried about the offense falling off. But I tend to think that the local people know more than the national people when it comes to their own team. I don't really blame them for kind of thinking that, though, because Hendon Hooker was pretty damn good. So was Jalin Hyatt.
Yep. I mean, I get that. I mean, I think our defense is going to be pretty damn solid this year, at least compared to last year.
Yeah, I agree for sure with that. I'm excited to watch our linebackers play.
That's basically all I had. I appreciate it.
All right, hold on, before you go, what record prediction you got?
I'm going to go 11-1.
Oh, I thought he was going to say 12-0.
11-1, let's go. Let's keep the 11-1s rolling. Ryan, appreciate you.
Thank you all.
Have a good night.
All right. Now we got the 11-1s rolling. Who's going to bring us down? Who's going to say 8-4?
Garrick is not. Garrick is more liable to say 12-0.
Garrick's chili's hot. Garrick, what's up, man?
Hello, John Reed. Hello, Seth Hughes.
What's up,
another good microphone. You sound great.
What's that?
I said another good microphone. You sound great.
Yes, sir. Long time, first time here. Two questions. Number one, I know you said you were going to be doing the spaces every week. Do you see maybe a collaboration episode with Coach Goat Doe in the future? And number two, I don't know if, you know, as you guys know, you guys are insiders. I saw a tweet from a Richard G. West about the game getting moved to Neyland Stadium. Do you have any intel on that?
Yeah, appreciate it, Garrick. So I think that, you know, Alabama Week, if Coach Doe wants to link up, we can do that. As far as the Richard G. West thing, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we are going to be inside historic Nissan Stadium, the house that Steve McNair built. And it's going to be the first game that a Tennessee team wins inside the state of Tennessee, inside Nashville. But it will not be the last game. It's like one of 11. One of 11, I think. Wait, will we get 10 home wins? One playoff win? One of nine. No, that's not good either. If I'm talking just inside Nissan Stadium. The first of seven. the first of seven. Garrett, give me a record prediction.
I'm going to say I need to update my prediction in the Discord, but I'm going to say 11-1.
11-1. Oh, we're rolling now, Seth.
I expected no less. I did see some news publication picked up the Richard G. West story.
It is really funny how people keep
every
falling
time,
for that.
Man.
A lot of misses, I think, but when he hits, he gets a lot of people. Yep. Garrick, anything else, brother?
Nothing. I love you all. Keep that chili hot and go Big Orange.
I love you too, buddy. It was good to talk to you.
Keep the chili hot. Seth, how does my mic sound? Because I bought a little portable microphone for TikTok and, like, you know, mobile videos, and I got it clipped to my chest. Do I sound okay? Does it sound bad?
I heard myself echoing one time slightly, but that's it. I don't know. It could be on my end.
Well,
it could be.
Well, my setup right now is I got a microphone on my chest. I got my wireless headphones on my head. I don't know if there's a microphone on them that's getting picked up. And also, like, next to me, I got my laptop recording.
I thought it was the recording from the Reed's Ranch.
Yeah, just so that I could easily, just load it up for podcast. Yeah. I'm going to invite SEC Mike to come talk to us. See what Mike thinks.
Okay.
I've invited Mike. Let's see if he wants to talk to us. Maybe he can slow us down, mate, because he's a big Kentucky guy. He's been talking a lot about Kentucky. Every time I see SEC Mike tweeting, he's tweeting about Kentucky. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's up, boys?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for giving me a voice here.
Yeah, man. Anytime, you know that.
Sweet.
So what are you thinking? We're talking Tennessee. We've got a lot of 11-1s rolling. I think that's a little too high is what you're going to tell me.
No, what I was going to say is I'm kind of pissed off because everybody's stealing what I was going to say. I'm going 11-1 too.
Okay.
Wait, what? You are? You weren't that high on the VaultQuest podcast, were you?
Oh, Seth's bringing receipts, Mike. He says that you weren't that high on the VaultQuest podcast.
I thought you were really high on A&M on that. I could be totally misremembering.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I talk this stuff all day, every day. I can't remember what I said a minute ago. But, yeah, right now, 11-1, give me Tennessee. I think the only likely loss is Georgia. I think they can beat Alabama. They can beat Kentucky. A&M, I think that's one where if A&M's really good, they're going to beat Tennessee. But they could just as likely be shitty once again.
I hear what you're saying. If A&M is really good because they're really good, their ceiling probably is higher than Tennessee's. Seth, do you agree with that? That their ceiling might be higher just with all the talent?
Yeah, sure, I guess.
I mean, if they put it all together. Like, I don't think they will, and I don't think Mike thinks they will either. But he's just saying if they're actually really good.
I think the system will hold the talent back.
Yeah, but they got Bobby P now.
And what does that really count for that much in 2023?
Yeah, go back, watch last season. Missouri State played Arkansas, and Bobby P, he put on a show. I mean, they nearly beat Arkansas last year.
Okay. Mike, I think if I were you, I would go on every one of these and just tell everybody their team is going 11-1. That'd be a pretty good move.
Well, I tried to get on the Alabama one and just tell them they're going 8-4, but they kicked me out.
Well, that would also be probably a pretty good move with them. Just go into Georgia, tell them they're going 7-5 against the spread like you did last year. That's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm going to shoot you a text. I hope to get you on the radio with us later this week.
Anytime.
Right now you're doing a 12-1 show. Is that right?
Right now, no. I mean, I'm like living in a van down by the river. I'm available anytime.
All right, perfect. I'll shoot you a text. We'll set it up.
All right, man.
Appreciate you.
Take it easy, Mike.
Yep.
I bring a guest on, and Seth's like, hey, hold on.
He predicted us to lose against A&M on the vocals.
You know, sometimes your chili gets hot, okay, Mike? No matter what I will just say,
Missouri State scored 3 touchdowns against Arkansas last year. 3 touchdowns. Going to need more than that. That's not
all I know is I bring on SEC Mike, and I know he's covering the whole SEC. But in his heart of hearts, he's a Tennessee guy. He's a Tennessee guy through and through.
I,
So we got his chili hot.
I'm happy he's turned the corner. I was just surprised. I wasn't coming at him. I was just shocked when he said it.
Look, Seth, you're a 1 hour a week. That's podcast true. That's host, true. And now that's you're going to add another hour on the spaces. We talk a lot.
That's true.
We talk a lot. Mike's doing nonstop hits. You sometimes you change your mind. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Don't be mean to my guests.
I wasn't
being
mean.
Don't be mean to my guests.
I was shocked. I was stunned. That wasn't mean. I was stunned.
All right, I'm bringing on Mark. What up, Mark? Give you time to get buffed up and ready to go.
Yeah.
All right, you broke the streak of good mics, Mark.
Hold on.
Take your time. Mark, you're losing me.
We're on.
You're muted.
sorry, boys. Had the Bluetooth headphone plugged up.
Hey, don't apologize to me. Apologize to our audience. Hundreds of people
apologize
are listening
to
this right now.
To the X Spaces. At least I got that right.
That's true.
All right, boys. Piggybacking on the A&M conversation, is it fair to kind of, I mean, we don't know what they're going to look like necessarily, but just kind of basing it on what we kind of expect from Jimbo and his offensive philosophy, even though I know Petrino's going to be calling the plays, is it kind of fair to compare them to what we saw against Clemson, kind of an outdated scheme? They have the talent in the world. They got a young quarterback who has shown flashes, but you couple that and throw it in Neyland, I just think we're going to outscore, man.
Yeah, if this game was at Texas A&M, I would be more willing to say that they're a big threat. I know they have talent. That's a good comparison to Clemson. Seth, what do you think about what Mark said? Does Texas A&M's offense remind you of what we saw with Clemson last year? Which, by the way, we did shock Clemson into trying to modernize their offense. We brought them into 2023.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I mean, just very stale and stagnant offenses. I think that Dabo at least showed the ability to go outside the box, which is kind of a hallmark of really successful coaches, and Jimbo hasn't shown that ability yet. That's a very good comparison, I would say. I am mystified by it. I just don't understand how we continually are going to do this hypothetical, well, what if they put it all together? I mean, how many more years are we going to do this?
Right. It.
Like I said, maybe one more set.
Maybe this is the year they put it all together. Maybe it is, and I'll look like an idiot. Okay.
Oh, no. I know what you're saying.
I'm just saying in general, like, maybe this is that final year, but it just is bizarre to me, man. Like, I guess, are they really even that talented? Evan Stewart's really good, yeah.
All I know is the 247 composite.
No. I'm not questioning you. I'm questioning the Big J journalist.
Because you know you gotta just trust those recruiting rankings for years and years and years, even though there's a lot of proof that whoever was doing the evaluating during COVID didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Because during COVID we had teams draft, you know, Trey Lance number 3 overall, and some of these 5 stars haven't been very good. You got
to
trust.
Another thing I want to mention, too, that I feel like people are failing to see, especially from the national media perspective with A&M, why are we so confident that Petrino and Jimbo are going to see eye to eye? I mean, I just see that being a clash. You got a former SEC head coach who's now calling plays for a guy who is, by all accounts, on the hot seat. This is a, you know, win or go home year. And I just see that boiling over into a mess, in my opinion.
Seth, do you think that Bobby Petrino thinks he's a better coach than Jimbo Fisher? Because I bet he does. Well, maybe Seth isn't listening. But I think Bobby Petrino probably in his heart of hearts thinks he's a better coach than Jimbo Fisher.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. I mean, we already know how Petrino is. He's a cocky dude. He's pretty arrogant. And I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he tried to undercut him, especially with him calling the plays. You know, maybe he does some talking behind the scenes saying like, hey, my offense is scoring points. We're not winning games. And, you know, I mean, SEC's cutthroat, you know, in this kind of business. So But on another note, I'm all in on the 11-1 train.
Wow, it's rolling.
The only team, obviously, that we have not seen Josh Heupel's offense necessarily execute against is Georgia. And
please note it was raining.
It was raining, and that's something I want to talk about. When's the last time we have faced Georgia in Neyland when we've actually been a top five, top 10 level football team?
Yeah, I mean, top 10 talent. I mean, you could say we had top 10 talent in 2015. Obviously, we're not a top 10 team, but I think we're as talented enough to be, obviously. Yeah, then you got to go back, I guess, like 07, I guess.
Right.
It's a long time. Long time.
On top of that, I mean, if we do get Georgia and we're, you know, undefeated at that point, I mean, the crowd can play a factor. We all know that. Alabama admitted they were rattled coming into that game last year. Will Anderson said it himself. And I'd like to see what old Beavis Beck can do with the crowd yelling and screaming down his neck. So, I mean, I'm not going to pencil that in as a win, but momentum does play a factor. And again, we haven't seen Georgia be tested in a pretty loud environment with playoff stakes on the line. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, boys. Go Vols.
Appreciate it, Mark. Well, we've talked about it on Talk Sports. Like, you talk about Georgia being tested. We know how easy their schedule is. They don't play any road games this year. They go to Auburn, and that's pretty much it. So, like, when you talk about breaking in a new quarterback, they're not bringing Stetson Bennett in here. They're bringing in a guy who's never played in a big game, and the only rep he's going to get in facing a hostile crowd will be against Hugh Freeze. And, you know, we just talked about you want to get coaches in year one. Going to Auburn next year or 2 years from now, probably going to be pretty tough. I don't quite know if they're going to have it fixed in year one. So, like, there's a chance that this guy comes in here into Neyland Stadium in week 11 or week 12, you know, game 11, and he has never really played on a road atmosphere, and he might walk into, you know, one of the loudest stadiums of the last 10 years for that game that should be, and if it's not, it's a failure. It should be for the final East Division Championship of all time. And also, I want to say, like we said, you know, you said Josh Heupel's offense has never worked against Georgia. I thought, you know, I rewatched the game while doing a remote. They had it on in the background. And Hendon missed a couple throws, man. We had some chances. There were some open receivers. He just missed throws. If he hits Jalen Hyatt, if he hits Cedric Tillman down the sideline, like, we might think about how this offense fares against Georgia a little bit differently. I'm going to grab Caleb. What up, Caleb?
Hey, what's up, guys? What are y'all doing?
Oh, just talking on the internet. What are you doing?
Playing a little FIFA. Missed you in pickleball today.
Yeah, I'm working. I'm very swamped right now. You know, I had to put on my costume and do that video.
Yep, love that.
I had to get ready for the spaces. I had a lot of stuff I got to do.
Okay, all right. Well, hey,
how'd you play? Did you play
played well, yeah. Me and Matt rotated. Wes and Ryan were there, too. They're, you know, they came off that, you know, that they won that tournament.
Yeah, they won that tournament. I think it's time for them to move up.
I think so too. All right. Hey, I got a question for y'all. So would you lock in 11-1 if the one loss is Georgia, but you lose due to Joe running out of bounds down six in the red zone as clock expires?
He ran out of bounds. Seth, are you locking in 11-1 with a loss of Georgia because Joe ran out of bounds? Is Seth still here? Did he leave? Hello, Seth.
He was muted for a second.
Either way, what about if Joe runs out of bounds, like we're trying to run the clock out? What if we're up 2 points? There's a minute and a half left.
That tendency just comes back out.
Yeah, and Joe runs, and he's trying to get the first down, but instead he dips out of bounds with, like, and leaves it, like, fourth and three, and then we have to punt. And then Georgia kicks the game-winning field
goal. The moans. You can just, like, hear the moans coming and kneeling, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think you still got to lock in 11-1. I mean,
I think you have to quote Boomer. I think you have to.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, hey, I enjoying this. Hope you guys keep it up.
What's your record prediction on the way?
11-1. 11-1.
Wow.
Take the next step.
Everyone's feeling it. Caleb, Love you,
yes, sir. See you.
Apologies to Jordan. I know that he was next, but brother Bob here is a patron at patreon.com/readsranch. He's a high dollar patron, and high dollar patrons get to cut the line. So I'm going to my friend Bob. Bob, welcome into the show. How are you, my friend? Take your time. Buffer up. I am pacing around my room, stepping in where my dog threw up last night. It's still wet. What's up, Bob?
John, why haven't you cleaned up your dog's vomit yet?
No, I cleaned it up. I sprayed it. And I just sprayed it again because it still kind of stinks. And I got air and fabric odor eliminator. I just sprayed again, so it's still kind of wet. But, like, it's – I've been cleaning it up, Bob. I cleaned up five little piles of throw-up. So, don't – you're off to a bad start, Bob. Let's start again. Let's start again. Bob, welcome to the show.
John, how are you doing? You having a we having a good Texas A&M space here tonight?
You know, it has turned into a live Texas A&M, but I will say that that's kind of the pivot game of the season. The people who think we're going 9-3 are saying we're going to lose to Texas A&M, but if you got something else, somewhere else to take us, let's take it there.
I do. And I'm sorry for bringing negativity into the space here with what I'm about to do,
oh, no.
I think. And I want to preface this by I'm not calling anybody a fraud right now.
Okay.
But is it fair to say that Tim Banks may be on fraud watch heading into the season? You know, we've got a lot we filled a lot of the roster holes on the defensive side, and I think this is the year for him to kind of put it all together. What do you think there?
So you're saying it's now or never for Tim Banks?
I'm saying it's now or never for Tim Banks.
What I would ask you before we get to this discussion is, do you think Tim Banks was bad last year?
I
personally don't. Tennessee's defense came in, you know, with an efficiency of like the low 30s or, you know, like 32, 33, somewhere around there. I think it's hard to have a good total defense because I know like the total yards and the total passing yards and all that is bad. But of course, we go so fast and we score so much that teams are going to be playing differently and having the ball more. But I think efficiently, like yards per play outside the South Carolina game, of course, we played pretty well.
That sounds pretty.
Do you disagree?
No, you've convinced me. Thanks, John.
Well, I mean, like, against the South Carolina team, he got absolutely shredded. You know, there's no coming back from that. And, like, I don't think he can afford another game like that. So, like, if your question is Tim Banks good enough to lead a high-profile Tennessee program, that's a different question, right? Because when we hired Tim Banks, Josh Heupel was kind of just trying to hire anybody he could on defense, right? A lot of people told us no. But now expectations have kind of risen. We've had five people in a row tell us we're going 11-1. Is Tim Banks an 11-1 defensive coordinator? That I can't convince you of yet.
That is what I'm unsure of, and I want to hop on the 11-1 train. But to me, Tim Banks does not feel like an 11-1 coordinator. And it's just certain personnel decisions. In the back of the defense, you know, we won't name names here. But we know this is a very classy X.com
the space. Right.
Yes. It seems like there's options back there that have not been, you know, they've not kicked the tires on some of these other options in the past. And I'm interested on Saturday to see if we see more of a rotation there or more of the same, if you will.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with your overall premise that Tim Banks has to prove he is a defense worthy of being on a top three SEC football program staff. And I do think this year is Tennessee's chance to kind of prove that they are at least, at the very least, a top four SEC program moving forward. You know, Josh Heupel makes $9 million a year. Outside of Alabama, LSU, and Georgia, we should be better than everyone else. Is Tim Banks that good? We'll find out.
I agree with that, and to your point about kind of solidifying your place, you know, in that upper tier of the SEC, I'm not trying to take the simmer of the chili down a little bit, but maybe a little bit of perspective that if we come out of this season maybe not in the playoff, but solidified ourselves at that top echelon of the SEC, that it's still a successful season. You know, we have great fans. We have passionate fans, you know, but with those ups, you know, kind of comes down with our fan base. And you know, I don't want to see them get discouraged if the if it's not as you know, great as everyone is predicting it to be.
If Tennessee can have a good defense, we will win double-digit games for a long, long time. That's what it comes down to, Brother Bob.
And I agree with that.
All right. Ranker prediction, give it to me.
I'm going to keep it going 11-1. 11-1.
You know what? I got to say, I got to be honest, I don't believe it when you say it.
I'm watching the LSU game right now. I have it right in front of me on the TV, and it's 37-7 right now. So the chili was down at a simmer there for a second, but we've ratcheted it back up on high.
I still don't believe you. I think you're a 10-2 guy, but I'll let it go because I love you so much. Talk to you later, brother.
All right, have a good night.
Going to read some comments here before we get back to Jordan. Let's see. Tim Banks better have had the tea mover removed from the Tennessee carpet. Yeah, that was no good. That game was over, Georgia, when we let the punt go over our head and then down inside the five. It was not down inside the five. It was down at the one, which, yeah, that ended the game. Bro, taking news from Richard G. West. Someone got to let him know. I think he was joking. I think he was joking. He's in my Discord. We're very smart. We have the highest IQ of any website or fan base. The Reed's Ranch Discord is the place to be. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. All right, let's grab Jordan. Jordan, sorry for making you wait, brother. Hope you're well. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to jump in real quick on the Texas A&M discussion. Looking at my preseason prediction, I had us going 9-3 to begin with, but I looked at a few things the other day with Josh Heupel coming off of a bye week. Heupel coming off of a bye week, if you exclude the 2020 season, which I think we can all agree is an outlier because of COVID.
COVID doesn't
exactly
count.
He has not lost as a head coach coming off a bye week, and the lowest amount of points his team has scored coming off a bye week is 38 points.
Texas A&M ain't scoring 38 points inside Neyland Stadium.
And the week before that, Texas A&M has to play Alabama.
There you go. So, it's over. They're not beating us. They're not beating Tennessee.
You know what, Jordan? I apologize for making you wait so long because you just brought some stats and some facts.
Yeah, that's a good stat. That's a very good stat.
I'll also say, Jordan, for next week or maybe a couple weeks from now, I want you to have some stats about what Mark Stoops does after his bye week.
I already have it handy if you need it.
Yeah, give it to me because that's why everyone keeps saying Kentucky's going to beat Tennessee. But tell me what Mark Stoops, who is coming off a bye week before the Tennessee game, tell me what he does
coming off a bye week is 5-7 as a head coach, and three of those five wins are against Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So miss me with, hey, Kentucky's coming off a bye week, because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and just an FYI, the other two were Mississippi State and Arkansas, who went on to have losing seasons.
Do you have a record prediction? You said you were at 9-3. Where are you at right now?
I'm at 10-2, leaning more to 11-1.
This is what peer pressure does. This is good peer pressure.
This is what peer pressure does. We are creating a Tennessee mob mentality right now.
It's because I'm stuck on the Alabama game as the push to 11-1 because of their quarterback situation. And in my opinion, I've asked this question to a few people. I think this is the worst collection of coordinators that Nick Saban has had at the same time since he's been there.
I think you could say that about his wide receivers and his quarterbacks.
Yes, his wide receivers have drop problems, and I'm not impressed with any of those quarterbacks that he has down there. And even when we went to Tuscaloosa 2 years ago, their defense, you know, had problems stopping our offense. I'm pretty sure Cedric Tillman went for over 100 yards late. You know, I think 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, that game was 31-24, and then our defense just gave out because they were exhausted and we had no depth. So their defense really hasn't stopped our offense since Heupel has been here. And Heupel, you know, last year he was the streak breaker. He broke a bunch of streaks for us, winning on the road against the ACC team. You can go down the list. And then I think he continues that this year by breaking the streak in the Swamp and by breaking the streak in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Jordan's chili thought. I am happy that we have converted him to 10.55 wins. Closer to 11 than to 10. Anything else on the way out?
Nope, that's it, man. Have a good night. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Jordan.
Jordan brought it. Jordan brought some stats. Where'd you go, Seth? I haven't heard from you.
So I got locked out. I don't know what happened. I had to finally Because I
got
an
alert that said Seth has declined being a co-host.
So I got the feeling that you couldn't get my request. You weren't getting my request. So finally, I just closed the app out. I left it, then closed it out.
Oh, I see that restarted. You texted me now. Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. But Bob's call was a roller coaster of emotions.
I love Brother Bob so much.
I love Brother CB too. I started laughing out loud at his question. He always asks the best questions, as I say.
He's a good question asker. He's pretty good at pickleball. He's a dear friend. All right. I don't know who this person is, so we're keeping a very short leash on Mind That Bird 98. He's got a pitcher.
Interesting profile pick.
Is that Hugh Freeze?
That's Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze with Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. Okay, so you got a short leash, High Flying Bird, but only because I don't know you. But let's see what you got. Welcome in, High Flying Bird. Are you there? You're muted. Unmute your mic. Here's your chance to shine.
Hold on, I'm turning it on here. What's up, guys? The name is Matthew Krebs. I don't know if you know me or not.
Okay.
You just ruined your burner. You have a burner.
Clearly. You know, ever since I got bullied off Twitter by Wes Rucker, I've been on a...
Don't tell anybody that Wes Rucker bullied you. Don't admit that. Take that to your grave.
I've been on a, kind of...
Do you still like to bowl?
Oh, yeah. I love bowling.
That's sad.
I'm standing out here. Let me tell you, boys. I'm standing out here in Myrtle Beach in about 7 inches of water while this hurricane's rolling through. Tomorrow is my 30th birthday, and all I can think of is that half of the people on this group think that we're actually going to lose to Texas A&M.
It's sad. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much, Seth.
Oh, happy birthday, Krebs.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you, John. I love you guys.
Love you.
It's insane. It's crazy to think that we're going to lose to A&M, you know? But no, I truly do believe that Joe Milton is going to have a good year. I do agree with you, John Hans, that his pocket awareness is going to be, where...
The hurricane has claimed Krebs.
What happened? Am I getting...
You're cutting out. You're cutting out.
Oh, God. Krebs, hold on.
You're blowing it right now. Right now, you are in the lead for worst phone call because of your service. You got to save it.
What's happening here? You know?
Big God, Big Mother Nature's taking you out.
Yeah, clearly. If God is real, then he hates me. That's all I can say. I truly believe the pocket awareness is going to be our biggest issue with Joe this year. And, everyone who thinks that we're going to lose to Kentucky or lose to Texas A&M, they're just out of their minds. They're insane.
They always want to talk about it every single year. That way, if it does happen, they can say they called it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely bonkers. But all right, boys. Well, I'll let you guys go. I love you both.
Record prediction on the way out.
You know what? I'm going to be the first one to say it.
12-0,
baby. There we go. 12 and fucking 0.
There we go.
God is real. We are going 12-0.
Happy birthday, all right, Matthew. I'll talk to you guys. Stay safe.
Thank you so much. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
He saved it. He saved it by going 12-0.
Oh, electric phone call.
I'm not gonna lie. He was on the ropes when he admitted he got bullied by Wes Rucker.
I had forgotten
The only human in the world to get successfully bullied by Wes Rucker. And then his service was dog shit. But then he pulled through. He came through and predicted 12-0. Electric. Whew. Well, no one else has requested. Seth is muted. We can start winding this thing down. 10 more minutes, maybe?
Yeah.
Ideally, I just want to do like 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Or an hour.
Yeah.
Is what I wanted to do, ideally.
just a little 9 to 10 hour. I feel like it's been pretty successful first night, though. Next week, you know, playing Austin Peay won't be that good. We'll get a couple more people in here that want to come on. Need to boat race Florida in the swamp. Let them know this is the new normal for them, says Derek. Yeah, I'm going to take solace. I'm going to take a lot of joy in blowing out Florida in the swamp.
Roy Mullen says, cucked by Wes Rucker and goes to Myrtle Beach with a hurricane approaching. Sound decision maker and sharpened visual.
Yeah. that's tough. But to his credit, Roy, to his credit, Seth, he was wondering if God loved him, if God was real. He was wondering.
He lives there, right?
I don't think so. No, I think he lives in Detroit.
I thought he was moving to Detroit. Okay.
Maybe he lives there and he's moving. I don't know, but yeah. All right, BMV wants back on. He wants to make up for his bad appearance earlier. What's up, BMV?
I've heard people talk about, you mentioned it, Joe's pocket awareness. And let's say he doesn't take, you know, the next step like a lot of people think he's going to. At what point in the season would you want to turn to Nico? Or is that just let Joe figure it out?
Whoa!
If you're going into A&M undefeated,
you came back in here to bench.
I don't think this is a Kelly Bryant situation.
No,
at all. I think if you can go 10-2 with Joe, then
you go 10-2 with Joe.
You go 10-2 with. This is not Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant wouldn't have go 10-2 against the schedule,
correct.
Though.
Correct.
Like that's the difference.
That's what I'm saying. This is not a Kelly Bryant situation.
Well, I'm telling B&B, like Kelly Bryant was very, very bad. And like Kelly Bryant, correct me if I'm wrong, Seth, had already lost a playoff game, right? Like they got
drilled by Alabama the year before.
Right. They had already ridden him to the playoff and got absolutely exposed. Like he had his chance and he was a very mid-level quarterback. I don't think Joe is that. And you're definitely not benching him at 5-0. The only way Joe gets benched is if Tennessee is like 6-2. Or no, excuse me. I was going to say 5-3 and not performing well. And you need like a spark and you want to see what you have. Because at 5-3, whenever you hear everyone come on here tonight and say we're going 11-1, 10-2, if we're 5-3 through 8 with Georgia still on the schedule, then yeah, like people are going to be over the Joe Milton experience.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. But I just, with having him, I wonder if that puts any pressure on Joe to have to, you know, try to replicate what Hendon did and, you know, put up points a game.
I think Joe is going to have to play good, but I think Joe's going to have to play good because, like, the entire country is going to be watching him, and the NFL scouts are going to be watching to see if he can finally put it all together because he has a first-round body. He has first-round talent. Like, the pressure's on him because he can make himself a lot of money this season.
Pressure is a privilege, too.
Print the T-shirts. Pressure is a privilege. You don't get pressure if you suck. If no one expects nothing from you, you don't have pressure. But when you're Hollywood in this offense and you're Hollywood Joe and you got the new teeth and you got the NIL deals and you're what's standing between Tennessee making the playoff or Tennessee going 8-4, that's pressure. But like my brother Seth Hughes said, pressure is a privilege.
Could you imagine the swagger? Thinking of Hooker at New York, if he would have been able to go for the Heisman, how cool would it be? You know, humble person. But could you just imagine having Milton up there, you know, 11-1, 12-0 quarterback, just the air and the swagger he would have up there. And I would almost rather see that and just his stage presence and how he would handle that as opposed to Hooker would. Cause you know, he was a humble guy.
I gotta say, B&B, you're trying to save yourself, but
no, I don't about, think
it's a fairy tale about, story.
You were talking about benching our quarterback.
No, I did not.
I gotta remove you. I'm sorry.
I love you, Brother Blue Moon Ball.
I love him too, but the people have spoken. And I understand he's going through a tough time because he's a Colts fan and Jonathan Taylor is no more. And he's got the biggest joke of an owner ever. And he's just going through it. But I love him too, but he's out of here. He's talking about benching Hollywood Joe. I can't have that happen.
Let's bring on Brother Matthew.
Matt, I will say that the bar is very low right now. The bar is very low, Matt. Welcome to the show. Somehow Matt is refusing to step over the bar. Are you there? Are you Matthew?
It's buffering.
Okay. I'll give him time. 10 seconds, Matt. Let's go.
Derek has requested.
All right, Matt. You're muted. Unmute yourself. Are you there, my friend? All right, we'll try it again. I'm moving on. Add a speaker. I'm going to try one more time. You're added as a speaker. Can you speak? All right.
I'm dying at this guy asking you if the game's been moved.
I feel like he's asked three times. That Richard G. West is a real asshole, you know? Derek, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Derek, what's up, brother?
What's up? Not much. I got to bring just some talking positivity on the internet chat after friends. That. Yeah, you know, I feel that same here.
I just sat down. I've been pacing and running around all night. Now I'm sitting down because he brought me down.
Well, first things first, you can't come on here and start talking about benching a Heisman finalist this year. That's just a big no-go. I'm going to call it right now. Joe Milton, 45 TDs, 6 picks, 11-1 record, losing at Bama, but we're beating Georgia and getting into the playoffs. And my pick to click, little sleeper pick here. We're going with
what about the
Alan Castles
game
at tight end. SEC championship game. We'll handle LSU.
So are you
easily.
Saying
I mean,
we've
already
seen championship game
before? Yeah, we'll beat LSU. LSU,
yeah,
38.
We know what to do there. Yeah.
And then just for Seth, we're going to beat the dog shit out of Florida State in the playoffs.
Hey.
Okay, there we go.
I will say so far the craziest thing you've said is that Joe Milton throws 6 interceptions because he's never thrown one at Tennessee.
Hasn't thrown one off camp.
And you think he's going to throw 6?
I mean, 6 ain't bad when you throw 45
touchdowns. You're bordering on negative.
I just said he's going to be a Heisman finalist. That's the most positive thing you can say.
Did you say Heisman winner? Because I just heard finalist. You're
implying. Well, that's going to be that chip on the shoulder he uses to win a game in the playoff.
Oh, you know what? I'll take that. Well, so we're going to lose the national championship.
I just said we're getting to the national championship. I didn't say who we're playing or what the score was.
So you got Joe losing the Heisman, losing the national championship. Got it. You're a step above BMB, but not much.
I'll tell you. Have a good night, boys.
Are you going to be in the swamp? Are you going to be
in the swamp? I will be in the swamp. Section C.
I cannot wait to give you a hug and a big kiss on the cheek. I love you. Have a good night.
I will see you there, Derek.
You too.
You like how I boxed him in, Seth?
Yeah, I did. That was very smooth.
I turned 12-1 in an SEC championship to him being negative. And he got flustered.
Actually, right, the mark of a true professional.
Let's try to get Matt on here one more time. Matt, are you there? Matt, you're muted.
Matt, all right. We got it now.
There we go.
Let's go.
Sorry about that, boys. First off, happy early Labor Day to all of you. Secondly,
Thank you. Thank you.
Secondly, I know BMV is used to running off quarterbacks after a year or less being a Colts fan. So can we take that as his official him leaving officially the Milton Militia?
He's very close to leaving the Milton Militia. It sounds like he has one foot out the door, which is sad, which is pretty sad. Because as Derek just told us, he is a Heisman finalist.
He's not only a Heisman finalist, he literally hasn't thrown an interception since playing quarterback for our team.
Yeah, like Derek said, throwing 6, that's kind of negative too. But yeah, like the only way we get benched is if the season goes very, very poorly. And if we have 3 losses through 8 games, that's about as disappointing of a season as we've ever had.
Lots of momentum down the drain at 5-3. A lot of momentum down the drain.
I mean, is it fair to say, Seth, that like all of Heupel's goodwill from last year would be pretty much gone? He's back to like square one.
I don't know that all of it would be, but you're
5-3.
You're that killing means you've lost so three much games. Momentum. I'm not. It would be terrible. It'd be extremely bad. You would just kill the program is so healthy. You know.
Yeah, no, I hear
that. It's so robust right now. It would be so bad.
I don't see 5-3. I just don't see it. So I'm going to roll with what a lot of other callers have rolled with. I say 11-1. I think the season's going to play out a lot like last year. So you can kind of compare the Pitt game to the Florida game. I think we're going to do a lot of dumb shit in that game, but we're going to find a way to pull it out.
I like
you know, stuff like, what was it, 3 second half turnovers. It's just going to be an absolute slop fest. But you know what? Like last year, you just got to find a way to get over the hump, and I think that's kind of how it's going to play out. I don't even know why we're talking about Texas A&M being a challenge for our team. I think we're going to boat race them like we did LSU last year, Kentucky. Really, following the Florida game, I don't see us getting challenged until we roll into Tuscaloosa and beat them for the second straight year. So you can kind of figure out where my first loss of the season is going to be, which is at home to Georgia. I think it's going to be a close one, but part of my prediction is I think we're going to see them again. I'm not sure where the playoff is this year, but I could definitely see us playing them in the playoff.
I think we would play them in the Sugar Bowl. I think we would be playing them in the Sugar Bowl in that scenario.
Even better. I will say something that hasn't been mentioned in here yet as far as a trap game. I wouldn't sleep on that late November game. I know we've beaten the brakes off in 2 years in a row, but traveling to Columbia in the dead of winter – gonna be 10 degrees outside, 40 mile per hour wind. By then they're gonna have benched Brady Cook and run their backup out there, who's significantly better. His family just doesn't donate money to the school like the Cooks do. So I could see us playing them close. They're not gonna beat us, but might give us a scare. I think that's kind of where you see our team grow as opposed to last year. So kind of compare that to the South
Missouri.
Carolina game.
Missouri, November 11th. Matt says, circle that one. That's the
remember when they said Hendon couldn't play in the cold?
Well, yeah.
That was a dumb talking point. That just reminded me of that.
He literally froze up, Seth. He literally, his body froze up. I mean, I don't think it was a dumb talking point.
There were a lot of dumb talking points last year, like Jalen Hyatt can't run routes, and he's out here smoking folks in the preseason in the NFL.
Do it the regular season. Just kidding. He will. He'll be great. There are a lot of dumb talking points. But hey, you guys aren't in the biz fully. It's a long off season. We got to talk about shit, okay? There's a lot of stuff we got to talk about.
I just have one last question for you guys before I leave. I don't want to take up everybody's time, but of our roster this year, so obviously it's football. You're going to have injuries throughout the year. Who are the players on this team that we just cannot afford to lose? Besides, I think Cooper Mays goes without saying.
Appreciate you, Matt. Record prediction.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
11-1. That's right. 11-1. 11-1.
Yes, sir.
Matt.
That's correct.
He did.
Seth, who can we not afford to lose?
I think Joe Milton. I don't think you want to lose Joe Milton, obviously.
yeah,
see that? Slaughter.
Okay.
I would say.
I mean, outside of that, like the defense, like.
I don't really want to lose Aaron Beasley either.
Yeah, you could say Beasley, but. Out of camp, everyone just keeps talking about how good the linebacking core is. So,
yeah,
like, could you afford to lose him?
I think
could a freshman
could.
or sophomore be as good? Probably.
I would choose to lose. I would choose to keep DeNico Slaughter over Aaron Beasley.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Roy writes in, not feeling the mindset that has UT good enough to win in Tuscaloosa, but not good enough to beat Georgia at home. We won't be losing a game if we win at Bama. He's implying that that's the most important game of the season. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I will be with him in Tuscaloosa. I agree that it's hard to imagine Tennessee rolling up and winning in Tuscaloosa and not being good enough to beat Georgia at home.
See, I'm going to disagree. Now, I do think, like I said about Carson Beck, like he's never played a road game like he'll play if Tennessee has one loss, right? If they're even – you know, 9-1 when he comes. If Tennessee is 10-0 when he comes, like, yeah, that's going to go to a different level. But there's a chance, albeit a small chance, that Alabama is not good this year. I know what the blue chip ratio says, or the most talented team ever, blah, blah, blah. but they don't have any coordinators. Nick Saban is older than he has ever been. Their quarterback is back to the Jake Coker days. And they, you know, the game's evolved so much in the last 10 years that you still have to score 31 points no matter what, pretty much against anybody.
I don't disagree with you at all. I just think in general it is the mindset that I understand what Roy's saying in general.
The mindset, sure, but like I think there's a world where we beat Georgia and we're still – or excuse me, a world where we beat Alabama and we're still 9-10-point underdogs against Georgia.
Yeah, I think that we've talked about it before. The one thing to me that isn't talked enough about Alabama is the wide receivers. Like, yeah, we know about the quarterbacks, but they don't have any guys at wide receiver, it seems to me. I just don't think you can play bully ball anymore.
No, I don't either. Unless you have just like, you know, the Georgia defense from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think Alabama's going to have that. They're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be that dominant.
Agree.
And even then, they had Stetson Bennett running around making plays.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring on, I think Coach Jay was next. Coach Jeremiah, I'm going to bring him on next. What's up, Coach Jay? Are you there, my friend?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
How are you? I can hear you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm standing in the street. So excited.
Don't get ran over.
You pacing?
Are you a pacer? Are you walking around the street? Are you pacing?
No, I don't pace. I just stand here.
I'm a pacer.
In the Blue Moon. Y'all check that out tonight.
I read about it.
Whenever I come in, I only go outside to take my dog outside, and I got to do that after the spaces.
I'll check
it out here in about 15 minutes.
Well, I know Seth is looking forward to seeing the pharmacist sling that pill again this year, but my question revolves around the newcomers and the freshmen. I was just wondering who you guys see making the biggest impact this year.
I mean, Thornton has to be the answer, right?
Thornton. Yeah. I love Thornton. I love that he can be what replaces Hott in that regard, along with Squirrel. But I really like Carter on the defensive side.
Yeah, he got added to a watch list of, I think, best freshmen in the country. He's going to be good, and, you know, I don't think he's going to have the impact this year, but, like, obviously everyone saw in the spring game how good Cam Seldon is, but I don't think he's going to be a huge factor in this year's team. But, like, I'm excited to watch him play. But I think Thornton has the biggest impact on this year's team. Not on the program in general, because the guys we've mentioned are going to be better longer, but as far as, like, newcomers, Thornton's going to be, you know, Jesse Simonton from 3 said he's going to win. He's going to be Tennessee's best receiver. I think he said he's going to be like a Blitnikoff finalist. Like, he's going to basically just step in
back
and do what Jordan Hyatt did. Yeah, like, that's basically what he said. So, that ceiling is really high just in this 1 year.
Yeah, the vocalist guys have said for months that he's one and done.
Yeah.
You know, I do think Aaron Carter was my pick to click on defense. I think he's going to be awesome. I wonder if Cam Seldon does, like, force his way into getting some kind of – at some point getting some role on offense.
I think he'll touch the ball, but I can't see him having much bigger of a role than Squirrel had last year.
Yeah,
like, Squirrel had decent freshman stats, but he wasn't a factor in any game outside of Clemson. You know what I mean? Like, he was this mop-up duty, like, hey, come in and score some points and get the ball.
Yeah.
And, John, I know you're big on Jalen Wright. But as far as our backfield, it's loaded. I feel like as far down as four deep, we can run anybody out there.
For sure. No, I agree.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what that does for the pass game.
Yep. I think Jalen Wright is going to be the best, but I do – like, if he goes out, like, I don't think Tennessee falls apart. Like, I think we'll be fine. Record prediction on the way out. What do you got?
I don't see us losing a game.
That's right.
All right, 15-0. Love to
see it. All right, y'all have a good night.
Appreciate you too, buddy. Thank you for calling.
He may have just meant 12-0, but I made it 15-0 because that's what I want to see. All right, let's bring in. He's been waiting for a while. Let's get Depressed Bob Kessling in here. Depressed Bob Kessling, you got a short leash because I don't know you, but I trust that you'll do the right thing. I trust that you'll be a good caller.
What up?
How are you, friend?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good,
man. So,
pretty fired up, actually. This has been a good exercise. I'm pretty fired up now.
So I might be a Debbie Downer.
Oh, no.
You're on thin ice.
Well, I mean, I have to go in my persona anyways, right? I'm depressed, so.
I don't want a depressed caller, but I'll hear you out.
Until I see it, I don't see us winning in Florida.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm sorry. I love you, but you're out. You're out. Seth, I'm sorry. I got rules.
Get him out of here. That's terrible. After this, this has been an electric factory.
I know. I'm sorry. I love him. He listens to my radio show. He's a real fan. I appreciate him. He sent me advice on where he wanted me to do This Guy Eats. So, like I said, he consumes the content, and he is my friend digitally. I've never met him in real life. But you can't come on here and say that we're going to lose to Florida. You can't pull – oh, there's only one man in Knoxville who can say that, and that's because it's his shtick. Only Brent Hubbs can say he'll see only Brent it, Hubbs. He believes it.
Yeah.
Only Brent Hubbs, because Brent Hubbs is an icon, and he has built a machine. He's the only person that can say it. I'm going to bring on Maddie. Maddie, welcome to the spaces. How are you, my friend?
What's up? JR, my buddy. How we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
It's weeks like this leading up to football season when I look back on where we've come from, and I wish I could go back to the archives of when you and I were running the boards doing four quarters radio, and I could listen to some of those calls.
Long time ago, four quarters radio. Shout out to 2015, Seth with an all-time phone call in there. Where I believe Seth said, we fired Philip Fulmer to put mountains on a helmet.
Oh, man. Those were the good days. Vaughn Pearson, Jacob Johnson, man. What could have been?
The team could have been real, real good. Should have been.
Yeah, it should have been, but thanks, Lyle.
What's up, Matty?
I got a question that we were talking about with some buddies here. You know, with the offense of looking in with Joe Milton, you know, he's going to be – a competitive fire for us. But I was curious on how the offense looks this year. Do you think, if you had to pick right now, do you think this team will have more rushing touchdowns than last year? And do you think this offense still averages like what it did last year, where I think we were averaging 42 points per game?
Seth, do you expect this offense to keep up that level of success?
I don't think they'll be quite as good on offense because I think Hendon Hooker was – really, really awesome.
Hendon Hooker's better than Joe Milton until further proven. It's how I feel. The ceiling's higher, but the floor is much, much lower. And Hendon Hooker was a solid A-minus. Can we give him an A-minus, I guess, maybe? But, like, he was really, really, really good. I think it's disingenuous to say this offense is going to get much better without him. Is the ceiling higher? Yes. I think the ceiling is higher because if Joe Milton – can just consistently hit 60, 70-yard bombs. Obviously, that's something Hendon Hooker couldn't do. But I think overall the team can be better and the schedule can be worse to create a net positive. Is that fair?
Yeah.
No, that's fair completely. And I'll end it with this. I don't have a whole lot to talk about, but I'll ask you guys both this question. With how we sit on offense right now, do you think – and I'll hang up on this – do you think we'll have more rushing touchdowns or more receiving touchdowns? And that's all I got, guys. Let's go Vols and let's get the win.
Hold on. Before you go, I need a record prediction.
You want realistic or do you want Jack Daniels in me?
No, I want realistic. I want realistic record prediction.
I actually have
– unless it's 8-4.
That's – yeah, no. I think at a minimum, I think any realistic Vol fan will say 9-3, but I'll go 10-2.
I'll take it. Matthew, good talking to you, brother.
All right, buddy. Take care.
See ya. Well, you agree with what I said about the offense? Like, the ceiling is higher with Joe Milton, but I expect last year's to be better overall, probably.
Yeah,
at least
I guess.
In the quarterback position.
Yeah, I guess maybe the ceiling is higher because he has more physical tools. I don't know.
Joe Milton, if it all clicks for him, he can make throws that Hendon couldn't make.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. But you also lost a top 10 pick at tackle.
You lost a top 10 pick at tackle, and you lost a Biletnikoff winner. So, I mean, like, yeah.
Yep.
Like, you know, we had a caller, you know, ask about why people are so low on this team this year. Like, we lost a lot.
Yeah, people don't know who to pick on this team. To be good.
This has been a great exercise. I'm fired up. I'm winding down, though. We don't have anybody else requested. Appreciate everyone who has stopped by. Appreciate everyone who has hopped on to talk. Seth, I appreciate you. Of course, we'll do it again probably next Wednesday. You don't have to co-host if you don't want to. It'll be probably a quick one. I actually be doing a fantasy draft, so it'll probably be pretty lame, actually. But season is finally here. I've been at 11-1. I've been at 11-1. You were at 10-2. Are you still at 10-2?
Yeah, Matthew wants to talk again.
Krebs, you got 30 seconds. I'll let Krebs in the show just because he has been holding me down, Seth. He has been listening to the show, coming by remotes. Back when I was just on, let me mute him right quick because, my God, the wind there. Hold on. I'm going to mute your mic for a second. I'm gonna put Krebs over. Yes, he got bullied by Wes Rucker. And, yes, that was tough. And, you know, but he has been listening to me for a long time. He used to come by remotes back in 2015 when I was just a struggling radio person trying to make it before I was a superstar. So Krebs has a very, very special place inside my heart. So I'm going to let him try to redeem himself. I do not know how to unmute him, though. Okay, let's go, Krebs. What do you got?
Goodness gracious.
You're making me regret this, Krebs.
Oh, my
You're
God. I regret it. All of a sudden, it came back in.
All right, let's go. Finish the show. You're the last word.
I know. God, it feels so good that I'm the last one to be in here. I'm standing in about 18 inches. I'm standing in about 18 inches of water right now.
That's too far. You know, don't go any further. Don't go any further.
Well,
that's
that's where we are. You know, that's the highest this gets. So, you know, things are doing well here. But, you know, I just wanted to tell both of you, John, Seth, that I love you guys so much. All the members of the Discord that hate me, mainly Seth, you know, that hates me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go back to the baseball game where you, you know, started screaming at me over and over and over again.
Oh, no.
This should be a you know, advertisement for everyone in the Discord or everyone who's not in the Discord. If you want to join, just know that Seth's going to yell at you over and over and over again.
Seth gets pretty fired up during baseball
games. I know.
It's true.
He got mad at me because I said that Tony Vitello fucked up for a change. you know.
Will Warren will fight you over basketball.
Oh, no.
Seth
but me,
will fight you
over, being Will Warren.
Seth will fight you over baseball. Seth will fight you over baseball. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah, but me and Will Warren are good friends, though. He's one of my real good buddies. You know, I've known his wife for a while.
Okay, let's
no, I'm just saying I grew up with her.
I'm kidding.
You.
I was at Will's wedding.
You fucking assholes.
You specifically.
I'm over here in the middle of a hurricane right now, and you guys are trying to be jackasses, huh?
I'm not trying to be a jackass. I have your back. I was talking about Seth being a jackass. I said, don't criticize Tony or else Seth will try to fight you.
Oh, that's
Seth,
true.
Seth thinks they are twins because they both have long, pretty hair.
Yeah.
That's it. So Seth thinks he has to defend Tony.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a good point.
Wrong, according to Seth Hughes.
Yeah. But let me tell you, you know, I just keep listening to this bullshit all night, hearing about people saying that Tennessee's going to lose to Kentucky or they're going to lose to Texas A&M. They're out of their minds. We're going to beat these people by, you know, 100 points. It's going to be unbelievable.
Krebs, I love you. No one has said we're going to lose to Kentucky or to A&M on the phone right now. We took an hour and a half of phone calls. No one said we're going to lose. Everyone said we're going 11-1 or 12-0. We had a couple of 10-2s. No one said we're doing worse than that. All right. Love you, Seth.
Love you too, buddy.
I'm going to upload this to...